Begin the current daf, Masechtas Bamitzia, daf Kol Vav. Begin 4 lines down at the top of the Amud, but the Gemara continues the discussion from the previous daf. That is, the Mishnah had told us that if someone rents a field from someone else, and there's what's called a Makas Medina, something that's a global, something that's huge type of a plague, where that is, it gets wind blasted, or that locusts come and eat it up, so then we diminish from the amount of rent that he owes. But if it's something that was only happened to this field, then we say, look, it's, you know, you rented it, it's your, what's called your mazel, it's something that happened to you, and therefore it's nothing that you have any complaints against the one who rented it to you, and you don't have to, you can't pay any less rent than what was made up beforehand. Now, the Gemara had two different interpretations. What does a Makas Medina mean? That is, Rabbi Huda said it's when the majority of the other fields in that valley they got ruined also. Whereas Ula said that if the four fields surrounding it got ruined, then it's going to be considered a Makas Medina, and then he could diminish the rent. Now, the Gemara had many different questions, which our Gemara continues on that theme, regarding if, let's say, other variables will impact the construct of being considered Makas Medina. Whereas, let's say, it wasn't the four fields around it, it was only the four borders of those fields, or let's say the borders actually were not, and the fields were. Other questions. Our Gemara continues on that theme. If other variables will change the way we view Makas Medina about diminishing the amount of the rent that he could owe the owner because of what happened to all the fields, not just his field. So Amalei Zarachita. The Gemara says, let's say the landowner told the renter, he says, okay, I'm renting it to you, but I want you to plant wheat. Vazlhu Bizarasari, and then the renter went, instead of planting wheat, he actually planted barley. Now, Vishtadifru Bidabaga. Now, as we said from the opinion of Rabbi Huda, what makes it a Makas Medina? If the majority of the other fields in the valley get wind blasted and his gets wind blasted too, then they could diminish the amount of the rent. It's not my mazel, the renter says. It's obviously all the fields, and therefore the product you're giving me is something to do with your field, like all the other fields, and if I could pay less. So all the other fields, in the majority of the other fields were wind blasted. Vishtadif Nami Hanach Sargile. And also his field that he was renting also got wind blasted, but he had planted barley. My, what's the halacha? So what's the question? Why isn't it a Makas Medina that it would be diminishing the amount of the rent? Because mir, meaning, do we say, the Amar Lei, that the landowner could tell the renter, look, ilu zarata chiti havanami mishtafe. In other words, the Amar Lei is talking about where, if do we say that the renter could tell the landowner, ilu zarata chiti havanami mishtafe. Or if I would have planted wheat like we made up, it would have also been wind blasted, because look around. First of all, what I planted now got wind blasted, albeit that it's barley, and all the other fields in that valley got wind blasted, and therefore he wants to say he should be allowed to pay less. Or do we say that the landowner could tell the renter? Not true. Had you done like we made up and you would have planted a wheat, have mekayimbi, it would have been fulfilled in me the pasuk in Eiv that says v'sigzer oimer, that you say and you decree, you make a plan v'yakum lach, and that will be standing for you. In other words, what you request from your creator, he'll do. And therefore, the landowner is telling the renter, he says, I didn't request from heaven that in the beginning of the year that I should be successful in barley, because I thought you're going to do wheat. So I daven Hashem, let the wheat be good, with the be good. I want the guy who rented it to, that it should work out. And if you would have done wheat, albeit all the other fields got ruined, even though they were wheat, but Hashem would have listened to my tefillas, and your wheat field would have not got ruined. The fact that you now planted barley, not like we had made up, it's your own fault. Says the Gemara, Mistaber D'Amalei, it is logical that that option that the Gemara said, that the landowner could tell him, Izarat Techiti, had you planted wheat, have Mekayim be V'sigzer Oim V'yakim Lach, that it would have been fulfilled in me, the Pasuk and Eiv, that my tefillos would have been heard, V'adrechecha Nagar, and then on your paths, it would shine a light. So if he would have planted wheat, and it would have got ruined, so then it would have been able to deduct, because that's Makas Medina. But since he didn't do as was made up, then the landowner could say that maybe my tefillos would have been heard, and I davened for wheat, not for barley, and the fact that your barley was wind blasted, you cannot deduct from the rent. Another question. Nishtatfu kol sadoisim shel machir. Let's say that the landowner, all his fields, wherever they are, not just this field that he rented to this person, all his fields got wind blasted. V'shtadiv nami ha'badayu, and this field also that he leased to this guy also got wind blasted. Now, v'lo yishtadiv ruba debaga, and however, the majority of the fields of this valley were not wind blasted. My, what's halacha? As the Gemara explains, mi amrina, do we say, look, kiven v'lo yishtadiv ruba debaga, since, as we said, what's the qualification to be able to diminish the amount of the rent? If the majority of the fields of the valley are wind blasted. Here, since they were not, loy menakeli, so that we do not diminish the amount of the rent of the renter. Or do we say that no, maybe keeping the shtad of kula rasi, since we see that every field that this guy had, the landowner had, got wind blasted? So Matsi Amalei said, then the Khaikhar, the mentor, could tell him, look, Haimashum Lasakh Diduhu, obviously it's because of your mazel, because the Hamashtat would call Sadasayach. All your fields got ruined. So obviously it's not about me. It's obviously about you. You've got to check into your spiritual accountings because every one of your fields got wind blasted. So therefore, I shouldn't be able to diminish it because it's not about me. It's about you. So says the Gemara, Mistabed Amalei, it's logical that the landowner could tell the renter. It's not true. Imishum lasoy didi, if it were because of my mazel, have mishtar li purta. Actually, I would have had a remnant. I would have had something left over. In other words, I actually lost everything. All my fields got ruined, including the one that you rented. Now, if this one that got rented, which is the one that I had rented to you, which actually is not a loss for me, if you're going to pay me, if it would have been my loss, my mazel, and therefore I should take the loss of the field I leased you to, it's not true because I would have been left with something, which is this remnant that I'm not losing because it's you're taking the loss and not me. Because it says the pasuk in Yirmiyah, "Ki nisharnu mi'at merhab," because we remained a little bit from the lot that we had. But you see that although a person loses, they remained with a remnant. So therefore, it's logical where he could tell him that's not my mazel, even though all my fields and it looks like it's me. It's not. It's going to be you, and because it's not nishtat v'rayv of the fields in this valley, you cannot diminish the amount of the rent. You have to give me exactly as we made up. Now, the Gemara goes the other way. Let's say nishtat v'kol sadeisu v'shal chaycher. Let's say all the fields of the renter, all his other fields, got ruined. And v'shtat v'ru b'debaga. And moreover, that all the fields in this valley were also ruined. V'shtat v'nami ho'badaya. And this field that he was renting was also ruined. He also got wind blasted in this season. My, what's the halach in that case? As the Gemara explained. Me and Rina, do we say keep nishtat v'ru b'debaga? Since ultimately, like our Mishnah qualified this halacha, since the majority of the fields in that valley got ruined, so menakele, so we could diminish. It's called the makas medina, because you could say it's not me. It's about obviously the field that you're leasing me, because like we see all the fields in the valley. Or maybe do we say that no, keep nishtad of kule arase, since all the renters' fields, even those that were in different valleys, got wind blasted. So the landowner could tell him mishum losach didachu. Obviously, it's your mazel. Because all your fields got ruined. Don't tell me it's my field, says the landowner, because, oh, look at all the fields in the valley. Must be, it's not, like you're saying, you, the renter's mazel. It is your mazel. Because all your fields, no matter where they were, even in faraway lands, got ruined. Obviously, it's your mazel, and therefore, you have to take the loss and pay me the full rent. Says the Gemara, Mestabed, the Amalei. It's logical that the machkir, the landowner, could tell the renter, like we said, Mishum Lasachu, it's obviously your mazel. And therefore, I'm not deducting the rent. Now, the Gemara says, but my, but why? How is this different than the previous case we just spoke about? Hachanami Nemelei, here also you should be able to tell him that the renter should tell the landowner, Imishum Lasoy Diduhu, if it's because of my mazel, have Mesharli Porta, then Hashem would have left me a remnant. Dav Mekaimi would have fulfilled me in the Pasik, Kinesharim Hat Mahab, because we remain a little bit from the lot. How can you say that this field that I'm renting is my mazel, I'm losing this too, and if I have to pay the full rent, but that would make me lose everything? Must be that, no, this is my remnant, and because I don't have to pay the full rent, because if it's my mazel, then actually this should not be my liability, because that would make me lose everything, and we know in the person's mazel, it's that he at least remains with something. And that the Gemara says, no, because Mishum de Amale, because the machker, the landowner, could tell the renter, if you would be fit to have been remained, even though you have bad mazel, but sometimes we're usually left with something, if you would have been fit to have Hashem leave you with something, have mishtar lach medenavshach. He would have left you something from your own. This field is not your field. You're renting it. It's my field. Obviously, it is your mazel. Because if you're saying, what do you mean, if it's my mazel, I should be left with something? Yeah, but that can't be your excuse to say that, therefore, this is not your liability and it must be mine, and therefore, you're actually being remained with something. Because how could you remain with my field? Hashem would have left one of your other fields that you own. Obviously, it's about you, and therefore, he says, he doesn't have to diminish the rent in that situation. Now, the Gemara asks on the interpretation that we had in the halacha of the Mishnah. We said that a makas medina is, if let's say there's no produce in that whole valley or just the four fields around it, however you interpret that. So he said that then that is something he could deduct. That's not going to be something that's the liability of the renter. He could diminish the rent that he owes to the landowner. On this halacha, the Gemara asks from the following brayso. The brayso is discussing regarding someone that sells a field during the time when the Yovel, the halachas of Yovel, which is every 50 years, is a Yovel, the Jubilee year, when that was still applying in halacha. Where, as it's taught in the Mishnah Maseches Erchin, Nefchav Tesem and Beis, it's not permitted for the seller to redeem the field unless 2 years have already passed in the buyer's possession. After 2 years, then he can buy it back. So the Brice there explains, if, however, from those 2 years, there was a year that was all the produce, the crop got wind blasted or got yellowed, or one of the years from those 2 years was a Shemitah year, or there were years like the years of Eliyahu Navi where there was no rain in the whole country. Then the halacha is, those years do not be count, they're not counted for the 2 years. 2 years have to be 2 years of produce. The buyer has 2 years of produce already, then the seller could go ahead and buy it back. But until he has 2 years of that, let's say it's not 2 years, if it doesn't rain or if it gets wind blasted, that's not counted. So that the Gemara asks as follows. Ketani, so we learn in the Braisa, Shedafin v'yirokin dum yedishanim kishneilio. So it seems to be equating that the years of when the crop gets wind blasted or yellowed, similar to the years, which is one of the other cases, of Eliyahu Navi. Now, ma shneiliyahu dolavet tful klal. So the comparison is, just like in the years of Eliyahu Navi, by the drought, there was no produce at all. So afachinami, so it sounds like also in the case of Shedafin in yirokin, dolavet tful klal, that there's no produce at all. Now, the inference is, avod de'ika tevua, but if there is produce even in another place, even if, let's say, that whole valley got wind blasted, but if some other valley is produce, we would say that obviously it's not that fields are not producing. It must be the mazel of the person who bought it, which in the case of that halacha and that braisa, or in our context, in regards to the guy who's renting it, that sulkale, that it would be complete. And we would, in other words, we would not go ahead and diminish regarding the rent or the purchasing. Rather, we would consider it as if it is a full year, as if it was a year of payris. V'loy kamrina makas medina. And we don't say that it's a makas medina. So that contradicts how we're defining the halach of our Mishnah. Our Mishnah said makas medina. So we had two different interpretations of the Gemara. But either one of them was was saying that either the four fields around it or the whole valley, but that's considered makas medina. It seems to be clear from this other halacha of a person who wants to buy back the field that he sold, that even if the whole valley doesn't have produce that got wind blasted, it doesn't make a difference as long as some other land, unless it's like the years of Eliyahu Navi where there was no produce, okay, that we can't count. But if there was some other valley that had, then we're going to consider that as a year of Tevuah, and we're not going to diminish that from the right of the seller to buy back. And therefore, in our context too, that shouldn't allow the renter to deduct from the amount of the rent. So that Rav Nachman by Yitzchak, he says, no, Shani Hasam, that halacha of the seller buying back the field, that is different. That has to be when, you're right, there's no produce at all, not just in this valley. Because the Amakra, the Pasuk says, in that halacha, that for the number of the years of produce he has sold the field to you, meaning up until the Yabel year. What does that Pasuk tell us? It tells us years that have produce in the world, but that tells us anywhere in the world. As long as their land, unless like Eliyahu Navi, there was no anywhere, there was no produce, fine. That would be excluded from the Pasuk. But as long as there's somewhere else, then that's going to be included in halacha. In contrast to our halacha, which is specific to this person's field that he's renting from him, then we view it more in a narrower interpretation regarding who do we see it as. Is it the guy's, is it the landowner, is it the land, or is it the renter's mazel? So all the other fields in the valley, so we say it's the field, it's not the renter, and he could diminish. But in regards to that price that we're bringing from the halacha of selling and buying back what he sold, that has to be that there's no produce in the whole entire world, in the whole entire Eretz Yisrael, that is going to be the criterion. But you're right, if it has in another valley, then even if this valley doesn't have, we'll count it as the year. Now the Gemara asks, Amalei Rav Asher Rav Kahana, Elamiata. But if that's the case, that's how you're qualifying this halacha, different than the halacha of our Mishnah. The halacha of a seller buying back, when there's the halachas of Yevil apply, the field that he had sold after 2 years, that you're saying it has to be that there's no produce anywhere, then Shvi is Talalei Min HaMinyan. Then the Shemitah year should be considered from the count of the 2 years, which the Bryce has said clearly that a Shemitah year is not going to be counted. Why? Why should it be counted? Because there is produce out of Eretz Yisrael. You're telling me it has to be like Eliyahu Navi, where the whole world there was no produce. It was a drought everywhere. Then that's going to be considered that it's not a Shnei Tevuis. It's not a year of produce. But then Shemitah, which is only in Eretz Yisrael that you can plant, but out of Eretz Yisrael they could and they do have produce, so then why would that be excluded from the 2 years of counting that he can then go ahead and buy it back? So Amalei, Rav Kahana answered to Rav Ashi, says, no, Shvi is the Shemitah year, Afka Asa de Malki. That is a king's edict where Hashem said that you can plant. Now, therefore, that's like that year doesn't exist. In other words, the pasuk is not going to consider it for a Jewish person a shnas tevua. How could you say the Torah is saying that he sold it to you for 2 years of crop? Now, somewhere else where there's a feasibility of having, it just happened to be the circumstances, the way Hashem made nature that's not, but some other valley there is. So good, then we can say it's considered Shnei Tevuos. But Shemitah, when Hashem says you cannot plant, if the king is telling you can, you can't say that when he tells you that it's a Shnei Tevuos, a year of produce, that the year of Shemitah would be counted, and therefore that's not counted. The Gemara continues now based on that. Omalei marzut beridra of Mori l'Ravina says elamiata. But if that's the case, that you're saying that the Shemitah year, it's like it's non-existent. In other words, you can't consider that at all as a year of produce, and that's why it's not counted by the 2 years, because it's the king's edict. Then, regarding a halacha, when someone is makdish his field, if he says he's making his field as hektish, and then, after it's hektish, he wants to redeem it. So, the Torah gives a certain set amount of redemption value starting from the beginning of a Yevil year for the next 50 years up until Yevil, because at Yevil, that's when it gets removed from that status of redemption. So it says for the 50 years, it's Chamishim Shekel Kesef, 50 silver shekel. Now, if it's after Yevil already, if it's after the first year of Yevil moving towards, closer towards the Yevil year, so then the pasuk says Bechishav La'akoyin, so then you start calculating. It's what's called the Nigra Me'erkach, you start diminishing the value, meaning from the whole 50 years, it's 50. Every year that goes by, then it's less of a value till it reaches the Yevil year, so it gets diminishes accordingly, proportionately, how much it equals to that amount. So then you give how much value it's still left till the final Yevil year. Now, the Gemara's question is, since you're telling me the Shemitah year is like it's non-existent, like it's not even part of the years, because it's not a year of value for a field, so then why are the Shemitah years counted towards diminishing the required amount of redemption? Shvius lo yitalu lemin hagerua. The Shemitah year should not be counted for the amount of the diminishing of the price you have to pay for the redemption of the field. So the question is, Alom Atzanan, why do we learn the Mishnah Masechtas Erichin that says, Noisin selo upundin lishanam? When a person is coming to count the remaining years that there are left till the Yevil year, so the calculation is that every single year, since the total amount was 50 slum for 49 years, so come, because there's the Yevil year, and then there's 49 years, and then you have another Yevil. So it comes out that the Shemitah years, if you're telling me that it's 50 slum for 49 years, and when you break it down, it comes out that you start diminishing a sela and a punyan per year, obviously you're counting the Shemitah years as deductions in that value. Because if you weren't counting the seven Shemitah years that come in the 49 years of the 50-year Yevil cycle, then you actually would be splitting up the 50 shekelim into 42 years. And then it would come out that every single year would actually be closer to a sela and a dinar. If you're saying it's sela and a punyan per year, obviously you count the Shemitah year, but why are you counting it? Didn't you say in regards to a field, Shemitah is non-existent? So that shouldn't be part of the calculation. It should be 42. You should be dividing 50 coins by 42, not by 49. So Amalei, so that he responded, no, Shani Hassam, there in regards to the case of when the person was makdish his sada, and then someone wants to redeem it back, there it's different because the chazi lemishtocha b'peri. Because you could use a field for a different function, not for planting. You're right, for planting it has no value. But you could use it to spread out your produce and use it for storage. So therefore, there is value for it. So therefore, regarding redeeming a steachuz inheritance field that the person was makdish, there it doesn't say, like it does say in the context of a seller trying to buy back his field from the buyer, shnei tevuos. There, yes, it has to be regards to a year that could produce produce, which doesn't count Shemitah. So therefore, the 2 years will not count the Shemitah year. Here we're talking about a guy redeeming back, buying back his ancestral field that was makdish to Shemayim. There it doesn't say it has to be Shnei Tevuos. So then what's the value of Shemitah year? Oh, you could put produce out there. So if we count the Shemitah years, every year that goes by, even the Shemitah year, as a sela punyan, it's part of the calculation of the value of diminishing the value of the state hektish that was makdish. Nothing more continues in qualifying this halacha of our Mishnah. Amar Shmuel, he says, Loi Shana, we didn't learn the halacha of a Mishnah that we said that if it's a makas medina, if it's some type of general affliction that wasn't just for the field that he was renting, but let's say for the whole valley, then menakalei, then we diminish the amount of rent he has to pay that they had originally made up. says Shmuel that we didn't learn that Elisha Zara Bitsamcha Va'achla Chagav. That's only if he planted and it sprouted. And then one of the Makas Medinas, let's say the case of the Mishnah was, and let's say locusts eat it up. So then, if all the fields of locusts ate it up, so then it's obviously your field, and I don't have to pay the amount of rent that we had made up because you gave me a weaker product. Well, if he didn't plant at all, and but the, all the other fields of the valley got wind blasted, but he didn't plant at all, then we're not going to actually diminish the amount of rent that he has to pay. Why? Because the Amalei, the landowner, could tell him, Ilu Zarata, had you planted it, have Mekaimbi, would have been fulfilled for me, the passing into Hillim, that says, Lo Yevoshu Be'Yisrael, they're not going to be embarrassed at the time of evil, V'Meirav and Yisbo, in the time of famine, they'll be satiated. In other words, had you planted, maybe Hashem would have saved your field, because Hashem would have listened to me in the time of evil. Although all the other fields, and had you planted, and yours would have got ruined, you would have diminished, but you didn't, so we don't know. Maybe yours would have been saved, and therefore he doesn't diminish the rent in that situation. Now, Masav Rav Sheshes. Rav Sheshes asks for the following brayse on this halach of Shmuel. The brayse says, Raya Shahaya Raya. If a shepherd was shepherding the flock, Venich Edroy Uvolair, and he left the flock out there in the fields, and he came to the city. Now a wolf came and pounced on it, or a lion came and mauled it. So and killed the animals in the flock. So says the Braisa, ain't I mean, we don't say, Eloha Yisham HaYamatzel, wait a second, had he been there, he would have saved it. We don't say that. Elohim Denoiser, rather, we evaluate the situation. Im Yachal HaTzel Chayim. If it would have been a situation that had he been there, he would have been able to save them, then he's liable. Vimlav Potter. But if not, although that he wasn't there and he had left, he's still going to be exempt because he couldn't have saved it anyway. That's the Braisa says. That has the Gemara, but why, according to Shmuel, namely, let the owner of the animal that had given it to the shepherd to take care of, let him tell him, Ihavi sahasam, had you been there, have Mekaimbi would have fulfilled me in the Pasik in Shmuel Aleph that says, Gam esari, gam hadoiv, also the lion, also the beer, haka avdecha, your servant has hit them and taken over and won against the animals. So, yes, why should we evaluate? But maybe had you been there, you would have been able to save it. Even though, generally speaking, you wouldn't have. But maybe the Hashem would have given some type of salvation. Just like Shmuel is saying in this halacha too, that he's saying that, what do you mean? Look at the majority of the fields. They all got ruined. What had you planted? What had you planted? Why is that any different than everyone else? Where generally we say, if it gets ruined, it's a Makas Medina. Obviously because we're saying that maybe something would have been different. There would have been salvation. So here also, then why don't we say the same thing over here? Why do we say that, okay, you usually wouldn't have been able to save. Who cares? Maybe you would have been there. It would have been some type of miracle, like the Pasuk in Shmuel Aleph says. So I think Mar says, no, because Mishum da Amale, because the shepherd could tell the owner of the animal, it's not true. Because Ihavisa Chazis Lisrachu Shulach Nisa, had you been worthy of a miracle happening to you, you're right. Like Shmuel says, there is such a claim. And that's why in that previous halacha, Shmuel said that he could tell him, you know, had you planted, maybe it would have been saved and wouldn't have wind blasted, and therefore we're not diminishing his rent. But here the shepherd can have a counterclaim. If it's really true that you would be worthy of such a miracle, then the miracle like that happened with Reb Chanina ben Daisa would have happened to you, which was Demasin Izi Duvi Bekarnayu, that his goats, which was to prove a point that he wasn't suspected, came back with beards on their horns. In other words, then you wouldn't have needed me even as a shepherd. Your animals would have had the wolf on its horns and would have came back and shown, wow, what a miracle. So if you were worthy of a miracle, don't say that, oh, had I been there, it would have been saved. Then it would have been saved even without me being there. And therefore, that's his counterclaim. That's why he's not going to be liable if, in normal situations, he would not have been able to have save the animal, even though he's making a claim, wow, a miracle could happen. Say, a miracle would happen, it would happen even without me, says the shepherd. Now, on this answer, the Gemara asks, but b'neimale, let the owner of the animal tell the shepherd, although I'm not worthy for such a great miracle, that's a stupendous type of a miracle where the animals come back with a beer on its horn, but for at least a smaller miracle, as we continue to come at base, chazina, that I am worthy of, for a human being to scare away an animal, although it's a little bit miraculous as a salvation, because it's something normally you can't protect against, but at least that's a smaller miracle. Maybe that I would have been worthy for, and therefore the shepherd should be chayiv according to Shmuel's principle. So the Gemara Kasha, that is a difficulty on Shmuel. Now the Gemara continues and asks a contradiction regarding this halacha of our Mishnah. Tani Chada, we learned in one brisa that Pam Rishayna, If let's say one time the renter plants the field and then locusts come and eat it up, or it gets wind blasted. So then says the Braisa, he has to go back v'shniya zara, and he has to go ahead and plant it a second time. Meaning, if let's say he doesn't replant it a second time, we're not going to diminish the amount of the rent, even though the first time what happened was a makas medina. He has to plant it a second time. But says the Braisa, v'shlisha zein nizer, but a third time he doesn't have to plant it. If two times it gets wind blasted or locusts eat it, then that's a makas medina, and two times is enough. He doesn't have to replant it. We can deduct the amount of rent that he owes the landowner. In another braisa, that it's shlish zayra. You have to plant it three times, revia sein zayra, but four times you don't have to. So what is it? Is it two or is it three? So it's gemar leikash. It's not a difficulty. Ha k'rabbi. The first braisa is like Rabbi, and ha k'rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel. And the second braisa is like Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel, which is brought in Masechtas Yevamos. Well, they have this machlokes regarding a woman that was married to one man and then he died, and to a second man and then he died. Do we say that the woman already has a chazaka that she kills men that she gets married to? Or does it have to be three times to create a chazaka? That's the machlokes Rebbe and Yom Shem Gamliel. So that's what the Gemara says. Haker Rebbe, the first bais is like Rebbe, the Amar that he said, betray Zimni have a chazaka. One creates a presumption already after two times. So therefore, if you already planted two times and locusts ate it up, it's already a chazaka that is going to get ruined, and which is a makas medina, and then you can deduct the amount of the rent. Haker Rebbe, Shem Gamliel, the second bais is like Shem Gamliel, the Amar betla Zimni have a chazaka, that it says that after three times it creates a chazaka. So you have to plant it three times, and then what happens three times, then that's already a definition of being destroyed, because it already created that establishment, and therefore, since it's Makas Medina, then it can diminish the amount of the rent. Another qualification, Amr Shlakish says, Lo Yishanu, we didn't learn this halacha of the Mishnah, that if it's a Makas Medina, then if it's some type of a larger plague, that's not just for this field, then we diminish the amount of the rent. Says Rish Lakish, that was Elisha Zara B'tzamcha V'ach L'chagav. That's only if he planted, and the crop sprouted, and then, let's say, like the locust ate it up. But let's say he planted and it didn't even sprout. Then, even if let's say it's not only his own, let's say something that is a larger thing that we would normally call a makas medina, and that says Rish Lakish, Matzi Amalei Baal Karka, that the owner of the land could tell the renter, Kol Yimei Zara, the entire planting season, Zara Lava Asl. You have to continuously trying and attempting to plant it, and you have to continue going back because maybe the time of the crop working out didn't come yet. Meaning, if you plant it and it got sprouted and it got ruined by locusts or by wind blasting, okay, that's a makas medina, and then he could be menaka le menadam. But if it didn't even grow in the first place, then, okay, that just means maybe the time didn't come yet. And you have to continue trying to plant it throughout the planting season. Ask the Gemara of Ad Emas, how long does the planting season extend to throughout the winter? Amra Papa says, Ad Asu Arisi Medabra. It's until the time when the sharecroppers come from the fields and they're coming back into the house at a time when normally they would come, which is after 9 hours in the day, which is close to the 10th hour, which is if you see a perfect day from 6 to 6, that's 12 hours. 10 hours into the day, which would be towards the end of the day, after 9 hours, that's when the sharecroppers usually come home. And if at that point in time, v'kaima kima, then if Kima, which is one of the constellations, which is actually the tail of one of the constellations, which is Tleh, which is the sheep, then if you have that Kima, Areshayu, on their head, meaning on the head of every single person, meaning if it's in the middle of the sky at that point in time, which is visible to every single person that it's on their head, if at that point in time, that is that when the people are coming home from work, then that Kima is on top of the head, that is already, as Rashi explains, that's during the month of Adar. If by Adar time it still hasn't planted, then the planting season is up, and then he could say that he doesn't have to plant it anymore. Now, the explanation of this is because of there's what's called the galgal, the ecliptic, which is in that zodiac, there's 12 mazalas, 12 constellations, which are, the order is Tashas, Sav, Mak, Gedat. In other words, you're always going to have, if you view the whole thing as a circle, you have 12 throughout equidistant in that space. So you have 6 that are going up at any point in time, and you have 6 that are going down. Now, in Nisan, the first month, you always start off in Aloy Sashach at the beginning of the day with Tleh, which is the ram, that's the first one of the 12 mazalas. That's the one that starts rising. And you have on the other end, you have Maznayim, which are the scales that's setting. Now, it takes 2 hours for the mazal to make its rise from the bottom half up to the top half. Now, after 2 hours, it concludes its rise, and the one that's setting concludes its setting. So it comes out that you have six that go up during the 12 hours of the day, and six that go up during the 12 hours of the night. Now, throughout the month of Nisan, the head of the Tleh, which is the first mazel, begins to rise. In Ir, the first one that begins to rise is the Shur. In Sivan, it's the Te'umim, is the twins. And so on, that's the order. So it comes out that in Adar, which its mazel is Dagim, is the fish, that's the one that starts rising in the morning. Now, at the end of 2 hours, so then you have, since the fish is the last one, so the first one now, after those 2 hours, now the Tleh starts to rise after 2 hours into the day. At the end of 4 hours, it concludes its rise, and then the Shur starts to rise, which that's the next one. At the end of 6 hours, the Shur concluded its rise, and then Te'umim starts. Now, at the end of 8 hours, so then Te'umim concluded, and it starts Sartan, cancer. Now, it comes out that at that point in time, the head of the Tleh is in the middle of the sky, because it already passed 6 hours from when the Tleh began. It's already 8 hours from when the day started, but Tleh, it starts with Dagim, and then Tleh comes 2 hours later. So 8 hours into the day, which is 6 hours after when Tleh started rising, is you have 6 hours into the day, which is noon on top of the head. That's where you have the beginning of Tleh. Because again, from the beginning of the mazel's rise until it sets is 12 hours. So it comes out from the time that it starts rising until 6 hours, it's going to be right on the top in the middle of the sky. Now, so therefore at the end of 8 hours from when Tleh started rising, which is after 10 hours when the day started, you have the tail of Tleh in the middle of the sky, which again, as we said, Kima is actually a mazel that's the tail end of Tleh. So it comes out that in Adar, that the tail of Tleh is at the end of the 10th hour, which is then going to be in the middle of the sky, which is the time when the workers are coming home. And that's how the Gemara says in Masechtas Brachos in Perek Haraya that Kima is the tail of the Tleh. So therefore, in the month of Nisan and the month of Adar, which that's when you have the tail of Tleh in the middle of the sky, at 10 hours into the day when the workers are coming home, that's the sign that the planting season has ended. And then he doesn't have to plant anymore. Now, Meisvei, on this interpretation, that the planting season goes all the way to Adar, the Gemara asks on the following braisa. He says, and he said the same thing like him, which they're coming to explain in the Parshas Noach. It talks about six different seasons in the year, which were guaranteed to Noach and the sons, that although during the Mabul, the seasons cease to exist. From then on, he had a guarantee to humanity that these six seasons will never cease to exist, which are Chatzi Tishrei Marcheshvan Chatzi Kislev, the second half of the month of Tishrei, and Marcheshvan and the first half of the month of Kislev, that's Zera, that's the planting season. Chatzi Kislev Tevez V'Chatzi Shvat, that's Charif, that's the winter. Chatzi Shvat Adar V'Chatzi Nisan, that's Kar, that's the really cold part. Chatzi Nisan Ir V'Chatzi Sivan, that's the Kutzer, that's the reaping season. Now that correlates to the planting season, because the planting is in the beginning of the winter season, in the rain season, and the reaping is in the beginning of the summer season. Chatzi Sivan Tamiz V'Chatzi Av, that's Kayetz, that's the summer, which correlates to the winter. Now Chayrif is the center of the winter season and of the cold, like the Lashon of Chorfi, it was always when I was at my strength, which is the primary. So to Kayetz is the strength of the dry season, because that's actually why they call it Kayetz, because then it would dry in that period, the dates and the figs, which were called Ketzias, which is Kayetz, that's what's called Kayetz. So that's at that period. And then you have Chatzi Av, El, Chatzi Tishrei, the first half of Tishrei, that's called Choim, the hot period. That's the end of the summer month, which actually all the heat gathers up all the way to the end of the summer, so therefore it's so hot. So again, each one are 2 months, just you have a half, a whole, and then a half. So it comes out for the 12 months, you have these six six tkufas, these six periods, in six seasons in the year. That's the Talmud Kama. Yehuda Mayim at Tishrei. Yehuda actually made the calculation from the beginning of Tishrei. He counted from the beginning of Tishrei, you have Tishrei Cheshvan is one season, going on, each season is 2 months. Rabbi Shimon Mayim at Cheshvan. He actually started the calculation from Cheshvan, meaning Cheshvan Kislev is one, and then going on like that. But instead of, so we have three opinions. We have one that starts from Tishrei, 2 months, 2 months, 2 months. We have one which is the Tanna Kamma starts halfway through Tishrei, and then moving on 2 months, 2 months like that. And then we have Rabbi Shimon, who he actually started the latest, starts from Cheshvan. That's when the first season starts, the planting season, which is Cheshvan and Kislev. So the Gemara is Man Mekel B'Kulu. Who's the most lenient interpretation regarding the planting season, that the latest that you could plan from these three opinions? That's Rabbi Shimon. He's the one that said that actually he started counting from Cheshvan, and he says that Cheshvan and Kislev is the planting season. So he, up until the end of Kislev, he's the latest that says that you could plant. Now, Kuli Haile Kama. But nobody says, like we had said just before, that the planting season is when it extends all the way up until when Kima is on the head of the workers, when they're coming back in the 10th hour of the day, which is only in Adar, which is much later, towards the end of the season, going towards Nisan. Who says that when we have three Tanoim over here that no one says past Kislev? Says Gemara Leikash, it's not a difficulty, because it's actually talking about two different types of plantations. Ha, the Kibla Minei Bechurfi. The Brisa over here is talking about when the work of the planting was regarding produce, let's say like wheat or rye, which those are things that are planted early, early in the winter. That's their season. There it only extends up until the end of Kislev. Ha, this halacha of Rapapa was the Kibla Minei Ba'afla, when he was accepting to work with late planting types of produce, like barley and beans, which are planted all the way up until Adar. Those are the things which we said in the explanation of the halacha of the Mishnah, where although our Mishnah said that if it's makas medin, you can minakaloi, that's only if it sprouted and then it got ruined. But if it never sprouted, you can say, okay, then this planting season never ended. You got to continue till the end of the planting season, which for late planted things are all the way till Adar. Now the Mishnah said that Rabbi Yehuda Omer, he said that im kibla memena b'mois, he made a clause in this exemption. He said that even if it's going to be a makas medina, he disagreed with the Tanna Kamma, and he says that if, let's say, the rent was made up to be with monies, then we're not menaken. Because ultimately, it's not obviously not the landowner's loss, because the affliction was not in the money, and therefore, since the payment was supposed to be with money, he says, money, you were going to pay me anyway. If Hashem wanted to get me, he would have done something to the money, did something with the fields. Therefore, we don't deduct if it was that the agreed upon rent was going to be with money. Now, the Gemara tells us, Ahu Gavra, the Kabbal Ara Lemizra Behutumi. There was a certain person that had rented a field with the stipulation that he was going to plant garlic, which was Agudin in Har Malka Sava. This field was at the riverbank of the river Malka Saba. And he had made up that bezuzi, that he's going to pay the owner of the field, Azuz, for this field that he's renting to plant garlic. Now, Istakar Nahar Malka Saba, the only thing was that they had redirected, they actually stuffed up the river to take it downstream, because those on top of the river stopped it and they redirected it in another way. Now, therefore, this guy's field, which was on the lower end of this river, was not getting any more of that water from the river. Now, herbs like garlic are not successful unless if it's in the ground, which is very moist. So, obviously, he's not going to plant his garlic anymore. So, Asla Kami the Rabbi came in front of the Rabbi to ask him, what's the halacha? So, Amalei said to him, look, Nahar Malka Sava Loyovid Misakar. Such a river is not usually stuffed up. They don't usually dam it that the field downstream should not get the water. So, Malka's Medinahi. So, first of all, this is, besides the fact that you should not have entertained that this was going to happen, to make a stipulation beforehand, moreover, it's a makas medina. It's not only your field that's getting this problem, it's every field downstream that's going to have this problem. And moreover, again, like we said, it's not something you should have entertained to say that, and therefore, zilnakile, therefore he said to the owner, you have to deduct the amount of rent that he has to pay, because this is a makas medina. Now, Amalei Rabban L'Rava, so on that, the Rabban asked Harava, but Ha'anantana, we learned in the Mishnah, which we just quoted before, he says, Im Kibla Hemenda B'mois, if the rent was going to be paid with money, which in this case was that he had promised him he's going to pay him with Zuzi, then in either situation, even if the Makas Medina, he can't diminish the amount of the rent. So why are you letting him off in the amount of the rent? Amalahu, Rabbi said to the Rabbanan, lest the chashla the Rabbi Yehuda. There's no one that's concerned for his opinion. We don't pass like him, and therefore we pass like the Tanakama, who holds that we do diminish the amount of the rent, even if the payment was going to be paid in money, if it is a Makas Medina like it was in this story. Now the Gemara continues with the next Mishnah, again continuing the theme of the Mishnais of this parak of Hamakabel Sade Mechaver. Someone rents a field from his friend. So in this case was that he rented a field from his friend to pay him 10 kur of wheat per year. That's how much he made up the rent with him, which was in wheat terms. Now, vloksa, then the wheat that this guy planted, that he was renting the field, got wind blasted, and they were also weak type of wheat that he grew. Says the Mishnah, noisin la metaycha. So this renter can go ahead and pay those 10 kur of wheat that he promised to the landowner from this weak and feeble wheat that he grew in this guy's own field. Now, as Rashi points out, as we had said in the previous daf, that all these Mishnayos, besides the first two Mishnayos of this parak, are exclusively either Chakiris or Arisus. So Rashi says that this halacha was necessary to say only by Chakiris and not by Kablanas. Because if it's by Kablanas, which is sharecropping, obviously each one has the rights in the field. So obviously he's been giving him what he made up with him from the field itself. The chiddush is, even though he had promised him like a certain set amount of rent, no matter what happens to the crop, still, since he made up to pay him with wheat, and he's planting wheat, he can give him from the poor and weak wheat that he has to pay him the 10 kor that he promised him. Now, the same thing is the other way too. Let's say ha'yichitel yafes. Let's say for some reason it became the beautiful wheat that grew in the field. La'yomelah, he cannot tell the landowner, oh, harin l'kech min ha'shuk, I'm going to buy for you the 10 kor of wheat from the marketplace, and that's why I'm going to give it to you. No, Elanais Limitech has to give him from within the field itself. So it's for better or for worse that the renter gives him the wheat from the field to pay the owner. Now the Gemara explains, relating to this halach of our Mishnah, who governed the kabbal aralas pasta. There was a certain person that had rented a field to plant aspasta, which is like animal fodder, it's a small little type of crop. Now, but he had also made up that Bikuri Disari, that he's going to pay the owner the rent, which is this, what we call chachiris, with a kur of barley. But that's not what he was planting. He was planting aspasta. So, avda aspasta. So he went and he planted and it made aspasta. Now, aspasta is something that you could reap already after 30 days, as the Gemara says in the beginning of Cheskes Abatim. So after that, it was already 30 days in, he already got his aspasta. He went back and v'charsha, he plowed it, v'zarasari, and then he planted barley. Now, Volokahani Sari, but those barley got wind blasted. That crop didn't work out so well. So Shulchan Rav Chaviva Misura Depras LeKamedra Avina, he asked him, Ki HaGavnamai? In such a situation, what would the halacha be? What's the question? Ki Loksa Noisin Lom B'Teicha Dami? Is it comparable to the halacha of a Mishnah that we said that when the guy promised to the landowner he's going to pay him a certain amount of produce, and when he plants that produce, if it doesn't work out, he could pay him from those weak and meager produce in the field as a form of payment. And here also the same thing is true, where he's going to pay him a kor of barley, and he planted barley in this guy's own field, and that got laksa, so he could give him from that weak and meager barley and pay him with that one? Ayloy, or maybe not. So, because that's he had made up with him that he's going to plant aspasta, that did work out. And when he's going to pay him barley, obviously it was not from the field itself. So even though he ended up planting barley, he can't give him that weak barley. He has to give him regularly good barley from the market. So that's what he answered him. Amalei said to me, dummy, is it comparable to the halacha of our Mishnah? Hasam in the Mishnah, where he had made up he's going to pay him wheat. And he was supposed to plant wheat. So lo'av de arash lichuz edemar, the earth didn't do the agency of the master. So your field didn't do such a good job. And I promised you I'm going to pay you that product that I'm planting, then I could give you from the inferior product of your own field. But hacha of the arish lichus demar, here the earth did the agency of what it was supposed to do, because the lease really was only for aspasta. Had he planted more aspasta, it would have been successful. Now, obviously, when he had made up that he's going to give him barley, was not from the field, because he wasn't supposed to plant barley. He was going to buy him barley from the market, so he still has to give him good barley, because it did the job of what it's supposed to do. The fact that he planted barley and didn't work out, okay, that's not a reason to excuse and give poor barley, inferior barley, to the landowner. Similar type of a case, says the Gemara. Who gathered a couple pardes mechabri? A certain person that rented a vineyard from his friend, be'aser danich amara, that he's going to pay the landowner 10 barrels of wine. Now, takafahu chamar. So actually, the wine that he had produced from that field ended up souring. So Sarev Kana, Lamemus Rav Kana, thought to say, Hainu Masnitin, that's the halacha of our Mishnah. where locks and nice lamatecha, when it gets ruined, so you can pay him from the ruined produce of the field. Because here, this is the wine that he's making from the grapes that grew from the land, and that's soured, so he can give him sour wine, because that's what your field produced. And that's what I was supposed to plant. On that, Amr Ravashi, Ravashi says, no, still, mi dami, is it comparable? Hasam loy abda arish l'chusa. In the halacha of the Mishnah, it didn't do its agency. When he made up that he's going to pay him a set amount, was from what he's going to plant. And that didn't produce, that produced inferior, so you could pay him inferior. Halacha abda arish l'chusa, here the land did its agency, and the reason being is because the grapes didn't get ruined. It only got ruined when it was turning into wine in the barrels of the renter in his house. Now the Gemara B'Metzi and Baba Basad of Talivam Beis tells us that wine gets ruined on the shoulder of the person that has it. In other words, the one who buys it, he's the one, if he buys it, it's really good, and it's his mazel that turns it to sour. So therefore, although the wine soured, that has nothing to do with this guy's field. It's you who you produced the wine from those grapes that it got ruined, and therefore you can't go ahead and give soured, spoiled wine to the owner. You have to give him from good wine, because his field did its agency. It made good grapes. Just the wine that it turned into, that's irrespective of the grapes themselves. Now, but however, Umayd Rav Asher, Rav Asher would agree, be'invi d'chadum, if the grapes got wormy, u'bisad d'shalaksa b'imreah, or regarding a field, when the bundles are still, the sheaves are still drying out in the field during the summer months, where that whole entire period, it still needs to be there in the ground, so when the grapes get wormy, or if let's say you have it between the time of the picking and the pressing of the grapes, where there the person didn't delay it more than they're supposed to be out in the fields, then of course he would agree that nice in the metoicha, because that's lux in the grapes themselves, then of course he can give him from the sour grapes. But the wine, that's something else, that he wouldn't be able to give him from the soured wine, he would have to give him good wine from the market. Now the Gemara continues on this theme, as we said, Hamakabel Sadeh Mechaver, regarding someone who rents a field from his friend. So if he rented it Lazarus Sa'irim to plant barley, which, as Rashi points out, we're obviously talking about over here, where it's Chachirus, where he's renting with a set amount of wheat or barley or money, meaning he's going to pay him whatever it is. But he had made up that he's going to plant only barley. So then the halacha is lo yezer nechitim. So he's not allowed to go ahead and plant wheat now. The reason for that is because wheat weakens the ground more than barley, and he had made up only to plant barley. And therefore, that's why this halacha would only apply to chachranis, which is a set amount of rent, because it was what we call kablanis, arisa's sharecropping, that we said in the previous daf, that he doesn't care. Weaken the land, but let not the owner lose out of a profit, because he's going to gain by changing it to wheat, because wheat actually fetches a higher price. And that's part of that, because it weakens the land. But here we're not talking about that. Here we're talking about where he pays him anyways a set amount. So if you made up a set amount for planting barley, now you can't plant wheat because he's not going to get any greater profit margin and his land's going to get weaker. But chitim is rather strain them. But if you made up to plant wheat, then if you want to change to barley, you could change to barley because that's not going to weaken the land. It's actually going to be better on the land. Now, still Reb Shemim Lil Eiser. Shemim Lil, however, says even that's forbidden, as the Gemara will explain the reason. Now, tavua, let's say made up to plant grain, lo yezer and the kidneys, you know, a plant, beans, legumes, because again, kidneys weakens the land more than grain. But kidneys, yezer and the tavua, if you made up to plant kidneys, then you could plant produce. But he says, no, in that situation, it's also forbidden. So the Gemara says, Amrav Chizda, my time to Bisham Gulil. What's the reason of Bisham Gulil? Why would it be worse? To the contrary, why would he mind? You're paying him anyways a set amount of rent. And you made up to plant something that's bad for the land. And now you want to change to something that's better for the land. Why can't you change? So that Rav Chizda says, because the Chizda says, the pasuk in Zephaniah, it says, She'eris Yisrael lo yaso avla. The remnant of the Jewish people will not commit iniquity. V'lo yidar b'chazav, they will not speak lies. V'lo yimtze b'fim, losh and tarmas, it will not be found in their mouth, a word of trickery, of fooling. In other words, although it's going to be better, but that's not what you made up. You don't change. You don't do different than what was made up. Even though it's actually going to be better for the person. Now, that the Gemara's Meisave. That's what the Chizur was saying in the interpretation of Reb Shimon Gamliel. Now, that the Gemara's from the following Braisa. The Braisa says, Magvis Purim Lepurim. Money that's collected for Purim, for the poor people, to be able to use for the Purim Suda, has to be used for Purim. But we're not so meticulous in this to say that, oh, it's enough for the poor people to have this amount and that the rest of the money should go for tzedakah. We don't say that. You could give the poor people as much, even though we think they don't even need that much, but it's got to go for the Purim Suda. And therefore, The poor person, although we're not particular, and we give him as much money, even though we think maybe it's more than what he needs for the perm suda, so we give him a surplus, but he can't go ahead and buy with that money even a strap for his shoe, because it has to go just for the perm stuff. Unless, if we're stipulated in the presence of the people of the city, of the assembly, and they agree that he could go ahead and deviate from the perm meals and use it to buy a strap for a shoe, only then would that be allowed. Now, Reb Shimon Gamliel, as we continue on top of Zayin Mem Aleph, he's makel, he's lenient, and that is, even though the pauper will switch from not buying another piece of meat for the suda, and still he'll use it to buy a shoelace that he so desperately needs for a shoe, still, Reb Shimon Gamliel holds that people are not so particular if it's not going to cause a loss for them anyways. They already gave this matan zlabiyah, they already gave the tzedakah, they don't care so much, so he's lenient. So you see that if it's something that a person is not particular about, and especially in the halacha that we're discussing in our Mishnah, he's actually going to gain. People are not particular if the other party is not going to do exactly as was stipulated. So we see he's lenient. So how can you say the reason is because he doesn't want that anything should change, even if it's something for his benefit? Where here we see even if it's not even benefit, as long as he's not going to lose anything, a person is not particular. So rather, Amar Abaye, he gives a different interpretation. It says, time to Reb Shimon is kedemar. It's like the master referring to his rabbi, Rabbi Ben Nachmeni, who was his teacher, and also he brought him up in his house because Abaye was an orphan. The Amama that the master, Rabbi, said, Hayman denichile de titfor are. Somebody wants that his field should not produce produce anymore, that it should just be an empty, fallow field. What should a person do? Meaning, it's in a sarcastic way. What should you do if you want to ruin your field? Lazara shat achiti v'shat azari. Planted 1 year wheat, and then planted the next year barley. Or shat ashesi v'shat erev. Planted 1 year in the length, and then planted 1 year in the width. That's, if you want to ruin your field, do that. Now, therefore, here also says Abaya, if the owner made up with him to plant wheat, although wheat weakens land more than barley, but maybe the previous year he had planted wheat, and if you're going to plant this year barley, you're going to be ruining his field. So therefore, says Reb Shimon, you cannot change. Even though you think you're doing him a favor, you don't know what's going on. You don't know if maybe last year you planted wheat too. And if you're going to plant this year barley, you're not doing him a favor. You're actually going to be ruining his field totally. That's why you can never change what you made up. Now, says the Gemara, B'loy Amar, but we didn't say this, Eld Lekar B'tani. Only if he didn't plow the field after the reaping and then repeat it again next year when he did the planting again. However, but if he plowed and then repeated the plowing again before the next season, then we're not concerned. Then even Reb Shimon would agree that if you're doing something that's better for the field, let's say instead of doing what you made up with wheat, you're doing barley, then that would be okay because then that wouldn't ruin the field. This halacha of Shimon, which is based on this halacha of Rabbah, which is that you can't change because it might be ruining the field, is only if you didn't plow after the reaping season and then plow again before the next planting season.